We follow our readings this morning first in the Contemporary English Version and then the New Testament for everyone. First we read from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, and beginning at verse 8. The Lord told Elijah, "Go to the town of Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've told a widow in that town to give you food." When Elijah came near the town gate of Zarephath, he saw a widow gathering sticks for a fire. "Would you please bring me a cup of water?" he asked. As she left to get it, he asked, "Would you also please bring me a piece of bread?" The widow answered, "In the name of the living Lord your God, I swear that I don't have any bread. All I have is a handful of flour and a little olive oil. I'm on my way home now with these few sticks to cook what I have for my son and me. After that, we will starve to death." Elijah said, "Everything will be fine. Do what you said. Go home and fix something for you and your son. But first, please make a small piece of bread and bring it to me. The Lord God of Israel has promised that your jar of flour won't run out and your bottle of oil won't dry up before he sends rain for the crops." The widow went home and did exactly what Elijah had told her. She and Elijah and her family had enough food for a long time. The Lord kept the promise that his prophet Elijah had made, and she did not run out of flour or oil. We turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41. As Jesus sat opposite the temple treasury, he watched the crowd putting money into the alms boxes. Lots of rich people put in substantial amounts. Then there came a single poor widow who put in two tiny coins, together worth a single penny. Jesus called his disciples. "I'm telling you the truth," he said. "This poor widow just put more into the treasury than everybody else. You see, all the others were contributing out of their wealth, but she put in everything she had out of her poverty. It was her whole income." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dave. You join in prayer. Father God, we offer you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. I had started to work on this sermon when I heard about Janet. Shock to many of us. I know how much a part she was of so many lives here, as well, of course, of the life of the church. For myself, Janet was the one who first contacted me about the ministry in this place, and from her initial elegant letter to every conversation leading up to my eventual arrival, she was Janet through and through. efficient, courteous, respectful to a fault, sharp, never forgetting anything or leaving anything to chance. I'm not sure she ever coped with my somewhat less organized ways. Still, I am proud to have known her and to be able to count her a friend and an unfailing source of encouragement and support. We will all miss her terribly. And all this in the season of remembrance. You may remember last week I suggested we referred to it this year as the season of mortality. The focus of today is, of course, the remembrance of the dead, of two world wars and conflicts since, but we cannot not bring Janet to mind in this remembrance. She was here last week. She heard me talking about the grave. And now she knows what we can only know in part. Time enough in the coming days for a proper tribute to her and to express something of what she means to us. For now, at the heart of remembrance this year is not so much events in the past, but something which comes close now. When a few of us were doing some thinking about this service a while back, specifically about hymns and songs and themes and so on, we wrote one thing down. It is the title of one of the very first books to look at the Bible from a feminist perspective, at the lives of women in the Bible, how their stories are told or indeed not told. The book was called In Memory of Her. Seems a fitting theme for today, In Memory of Her. I'm not sure Janet would have approved. Don't think she was a card-carrying feminist, though my, she had achieved very great things indeed. Today, In Memory of Her. And of all those who gave themselves in the great conflicts of the 20th century and beyond, and especially of the forgotten, the hidden people. Not all of them, but many of them, women who just got on, who kept the home fires burning, who grew the food, nursed the sick, worked the machines, organized the communities, ensured that there was something worth fighting for. In memory of her. Her memorial, it was the last of the pictures you will have noticed, stands in Whitehall. A sculpture made of the uniforms worn by many women who served in the war, not just in the military. It depicts the working clothes of those in the factories, hospitals, emergency services, farms, and so on. It stands with the growing number of installations at the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire as a monument to all the forgotten folk. In memory of her. Jesus, in Mark's Gospel, honoured the gift of a widow who gave two small coins, nothing but a penny, a mite in the traditional translation. Honoured her over the ostentatious show of the wealthy who gave out of their excess. The Bible rings with such honour. Moses, an outsider with no apparent gifts for leadership. Joseph, the youngest and least of the brothers, the sons of Jacob, the widow of Zarephath, who ministered to Elijah. David, the unremarkable shepherd boy who grew to be one of the greatest kings. Rebekah, Rachel, Sarah, Leah, Deborah, the judge who mixed it with the greatest warriors of her age. Ruth the Moabitess, Huldah the prophet, Rahab the prostitute. And on into the New Testament, Anna and Elizabeth and Mary, all the other women who gathered around Jesus, whose stories we hardly know. The few women named in the story of the early church, Priscilla, Aquila, Nympha, Claudia, whose stories are mostly hidden. In memory of her. The book railed against centuries of male interpretation and church leadership that had caused so much of these stories to remain hidden or to be forgotten. In memory of her. On this remembrance, it is almost a solemn duty to remember not just the glorious dead, not just the growing number of hidden men and women who are slowly getting their own memorials and Whitehall and Staffordshire and so on, slowly being recognised, but the forgotten, the truly hidden ones. Not exclusively women by any means, but often enough. We can say that away from the headline glories of the front line, and by golly, enough women served there and serve there still as soldiers in their own right or as medics or support personnel, but away from those headlines, women bear much of the world's burden of war. Always did, always will. The grief of lost husbands and sons and daughters, the destroying of homes, the unglamorous tasks of feeding families and nursing the sick and trying to hold communities together in the face of terrible destruction, enduring terrible deprivations as refugees. Imagine trying to look after children as you struggle to get out of Syria and into Europe. Remembrance in memory of her. Her story, not only history. Uncovering and revealing and honouring what has long been hidden. They were interviewing on the television a few days ago the widow of a soldier who had lost his life a while back in Afghanistan. She had become involved in a campaign to support other such widows. The point she made was that because her husband had died a hero, it had been very hard for her to grieve. Her pain had somehow felt unworthy. It mustn't be allowed to distract from the glories of her husband's sacrifice. Not much had ever been said to her, but as she explained, she had been made to feel that for the sake of the good of morale, of the regiment, of the unit, almost of the nation, she really ought to keep quiet. It was her sacrifice as well. She had to do her bit. She didn't have any particular grievance to hang her bitterness on. There was no failure, no lack of equipment. She was fully on board with what her husband had been doing, had always accepted as an army wife that there was a risk, but when it came to it, in memory of her. Remembrance today. As memories fade, as fewer veterans survive into each passing year, the issue for us is going to be, as we go forward, what kind of stories are we going to tell? Is it just going to be history? History, though, as is often said, is written by the victors. What about her story? The story of the forgotten, the hidden stories. The grief not expressed, the sacrifices not acknowledged, the contributions never recognized. I tell you the truth in the words of Jesus. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. In memory of her, of all those who on Remembrance Day are forgotten. For the season of mortality faces us with one of our greatest fears, that we might be forgotten. Clive James' poem. Once inside, you will have no regrets. You go where no one will remember you. You go below the sun when the sun sets. Remembrance Day for the Christian proclaims something else. We remember today not just out of pride, not just our own, not just the great and good, not just the victors, but all, the forgotten, the lost, the overlooked, the widow, the grieving mother, the backroom worker, the humble carriers of the burdens of the world. Because we are remembered. That's at the heart of what we proclaim on Remembrance. We are not forgotten, not any of us, not one of us, not ever, not for one moment. We are remembered and marked and taken up for an eternity. Because of the Christ who lived and died, who faced his own mortality, and who lives. Janet's part here was great indeed. But you know, she was humble and unassuming and always ready to work behind the scenes. Her story was one of giving and hoping and persevering in imitation of her Lord. On Remembrance Day, in memory of her, of all those who are forgotten, because of the Christ who lives forever, we will remember.